Finish up Ephesians chapter 6, hopefully on tonight, because next week is the song and prayer service, and also is the last Wednesday of the year. When you look at Ephesians chapter 6, Paul has already been discussing. He discussed the believer's walk in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, all the way through Ephesians chapter 6, and verse number 9. And so what he does now, certainly he jots the readers and the hearers. And what he does is he changes courses. And so he says that basically there is another way to look at the believer's life in Christ. And so the believer's life is a battlefield. And that's what we're going to be looking at. And so because immediately upon being baptized, the believer find himself, the Christian find himself in a constant struggle, in an unceasing fight, and in an unending war. So he says now in verse 10 that there is a charge to the Christian soldier. Notice what he says in verse number 10. He starts out by saying family. Now when you look at the word family may be rendered from now on or henceforth. So the spiritual battle Christians are engaged in and exist from now on till the Lord calls you from labor to reward, and also until he unless he returns. And so he says, finally, what? My brethren. When you look at my brethren, it is a Christian's believer who needs this charge. When he says that, he says, my brethren, and it's not charge, it's not to the world, but it's to the Christian soldier. And so they need to heed what is about to be said in the remaining verses of chapter 6. Not only must they heed what is exactly to be said, but they must do exactly what God has said in order to conquer the greatest enemy of life. And so he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, I want you to notice there are three words that are used in this particular verse. The first one is strong. Strong means power. It means might. It means strength. The second word that is used is power. It means unlimited power. It means dominion over all. And then the third word that is used is might. It means strength. It means force. It means ability. So we notice now where all of these three things come from. It comes from the Lord. Right there in verse 10. Again, he says what? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he goes on to verse number 11. In verse 11, he starts out by saying, put on. When you look at put on denotes a sense of urgency, demanding immediate action. Put on conveys the idea of preeminence, indicating that the armor should be the Christian sustaining lifelong attire. So in other words, what Paul is using here is that Paul is about to use the common armor that was worn by Roman soldiers. And so he says, put on what? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. Now, in order to take advantage of the strength of God's might. A believer must put on the full spiritual armor of Christ. You just can't just put on half of it. You got to put on the full armor of Christ. And so we understand that. Why do you need to put on? Because this thing is permanent. Because he says that you put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Stand against who? It goes on and he says, stand against the wiles. When you look at the word wiles, the word wiles carries the idea of craftiness. It carries the idea of cunning. It carries the idea of deception. So when you understand this, this term was used often of wild animals that was cunning, that was stalked, and then they would pounce on their prey. And so he said, listen, you got to stand because you got to beware of the wilds because he's crafty. And he's going to talk about who it is. He's crafty. He's deceiving. And so he says, the wiles of who? The devil. You got to be aware of the devil. Satan's evil schemes are built around trying to deceive Christians. He's trying to deceive Christians. So we got to be able to have put on this whole armor that we can be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so when you understand Paul is writing this. He is writing this while he was chained to a soldier. Now you can understand that. So it was not difficult for him to use the dress of a soldier that was ready for battle because guess what? He was chained to a soldier. And so as we look at this, he says in verse number 12, he goes on and says, for we wrestle. Now notice the word wrestle. The word wrestle means struggle, which in turn it was used in hand-to-hand combat with the enemy. And so what this emphasizes is that this emphasizes the personal and the individual nature of spiritual warfare waged against each church and each Christian. Y'all listen, we are in a spiritual war. We are in a war. And we got to make sure that we are prepared for that war. And so he says, now he goes on and help us to understand who we are wrestling. See, the problem sometimes is that we are wrestling one another. And so we need to be aware of that. He goes on and says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This refers to humanity. And so we have to understand. So such is not the church's adversary. So if we wrestle against each other, we are not the adversary. We are wrestling the wrong ones. We are wounding and killing our own. And guess what? Satan loving it. And so we got to understand. We are wrestling not against flesh and blood. So what Paul does is that Paul, he reminds his readers that the Christian struggle is not only against Satan himself, but is also against a host of his demon subordinates. And so we have to understand, it's a vast array of adversaries. And so who just like the devil, we got to be aware of. And so how do you be aware of that? Because we got to understand here that our greatest enemy is not the world we see, the corrupt, the wicked as it is. But guess what? It is the world we cannot see. So what do you mean? What do you mean by that? one thing that you and I must do to fight against our enemy is, number one, you got to learn who he is. You got to know who he is. And not only learn who he is, but what is his tactics? Because guess what? We say he's crafty, right? He's deceptive. You got to know what his tactics is. And so that's what this verse is really talking about. The enemy that you cannot see with your physical eye, guess what? It's the most dangerous enemy of all, because you do not know when he is on the attack. And so you don't know when he's coming. That's why you got to be prepared. That's why you got to stay with the Lord. That's why you got to stay in his word, because that's the only way you're going to know. That's the only way you're going to be able to defeat the wiles of the devil. And so then he goes on and says, "But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, their rulers, against powers, authorities, against not only that, principalities, powers, rulers, they are world rulers. Spiritual weaknesses, wicked spiritual beings. In other words, that is fallen angels and demons. And you remember Lucifer himself. And so he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, what? Of this world, against spiritual weaknesses in high places. So it's not against us. We are in a spiritual battle. And so as we're in a spiritual battle, what he says is this: you better get ready. You better be prepared. So in verse 13 he says, wherefore. Now when you look at the word wherefore, it means because of this. Because of what I've already said earlier. Because of this, wherefore? Because we face an enemy. And as we face an enemy, we must avail ourselves to God's power, God's strength, and God's might. Because if we don't, Satan can destroy us. The enemy will destroy us if we don't lean on God. So he said, wherefore? Watch what he does. Take unto you the whole armor of God. Y'all see that? He again emphasizes, put on the whole armor of God. He emphasizes it because it's a necessity that you do it. All right? It's a necessity that you do it. He said that you may be able again to withstand what? The evil day. So we got to be standing firm against the enemy without wavering and falling. That shouldn't be our goal. Our goal is to stand firm that we're going to pursue this enemy. So he goes on, when you look at verse 14, through verse 17, the whole armor consists of six pieces. When he talks about the whole armor of God, it consists of six pieces. Now, the first three pieces of armor, which is the girdle, the breastplate, and the shoes, or the sandals, or boot, and we're going to be talking about that in verse 14 and 15. Now, the first three pieces of armor, we need to understand they were worn continually on the battlefield. These first three were worn continually on the battlefield. And then the last three, which is the shield, the helmet, and the sword, in verse 16 and 17, were kept ready for use when the fight actually began. So these six pieces, the first three were used, continually used on the battlefield. So will you understand that? All right, the girdle, the breastplate, and the shoes. And then the last three was kept ready, and that was the shield, the helmet, and the sword. So let's look at it. So he says now, he starts out by saying, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And what this was he's talking about a belt. Now, when you look at this, the belt was used to the soldier's clothing. It was next to his body, and what it done was it kept his all of his stuff from flapping. All right, it kept his, you know, his clothing from flapping about, and he had freedom of movement. So he had this belt on to hold all of these things in place. And so what do we need to have? He says now that stand therefore having your loins girt about with what? Truth. We got to have truth. And so truth is a knowledge of the Word of God. So we got to stand there, we got to prepare, we got to have the Word of God. All right, in us. Why? Because it keeps us from flapping about one thing to another. It keeps us from being tossed to and fro by the enemy attack. So the first piece of equipment is that we need to have the belt of truth. All right, the belt of truth, because it's very important. The second thing that he says is the breastplate, having the breastplate of righteousness. Now, when you look at the breastplate was covered. It covered the body of the soldier from the neck to the thighs. And what it done was it protected the heart. All right? It protected the heart. And so, what do we need to have? The breastplate of righteousness. Now, what did that mean? The believer's heart is focused upon the Lord. All right? We are focused upon the Lord and His righteousness. And that focus must be protected. All right? It must be protected. And what it represents, it represents a holy character. It represents a moral conduct. Obedience to the truth. All right? It's known to produce a godly life. A life of righteousness. All right? So we got to have the belt of what? Truth. That's the Word of God. We got to have the breastplate of righteousness. The heart must be focused on the Lord. All right? And then he talks about your feet shod. Now, the Roman soldiers, they wore sandals. And these sandals were made of with nails. These nails, they grip firmly, even when they were on a slope, even when it was they were slippery. They had these nails that they could stand firm on. So these are the what the soldiers were. And so what are we ought to put on? He says that your feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. All right, verse 15. It means eagerness. It means readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In other words, you are ready. You are ready to march. You are ready to bear witness to the gospel. And not only are you ready to bear witness to the gospel, but you're ready to share the gospel. You are enthused about it. You are eagerly ready to tell somebody about the word of God. And so you need to be prepared for that. Well, how can you be prepared for that? You got to be in the word. You got to have that belt on. All right? You got to be in the word that you can be able to share the word with somebody else. So we have those three things. And again, then he talks about the shield. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, the shield was an oblong shield that was worn by soldiers to protect his body from the fiery darts from the enemy. Now, you have to understand, now the darts, when you think about the darts, now they were dipped in pitch, and they had some other kind of combustible material. And so what happened was that they would take it and they would set it afire. All right? They would set it afire. And so when they struck, when these darts struck, it served the purpose of just like a small bomb. So they would have this shield that when it came, guess what? It can protect. It would shield off those fiery dots. And so what do we need to have? The shield of faith. The shield of faith. Y'all see that? Verse 16. In other words, it means that you are taking God at his word by believing his promises. Well, what are his promises? Knowing that God is a help and God is our shield. When you look at Psalms 33, and you can write these verses down and you go back and look at them. Psalms 33 and verse 20. Psalms 33 and verse 20. Psalms 84 and verse 9. Psalms 84 and verse 9. And then Psalms 84 and verse 11. And when you look at verse 84 and verse 11, he's a sun and shield. And then the others, he is a help and shield. And so God is a shield. And so we got to take God at his word. And so we have to have the shield of faith, all right? The shield of faith. And then he says, not only that, and take the helmet of salvation. Now, the helmet of salvation. Now, we got the helmet. What the helmet was used for was that the helmet covered the head and the mind of the soldier. It covered the head and the mind of the soldier. Well, why is that? The head was the core of a soldier's power to wage a war. Because what? That was mind. So he had to have that to protect not only his head, but to protect his mind. All right? To protect his man. Well, what's the sign of a Christian? Is a helmet of salvation, deliverance. He must protect his head, his mind, his thoughts, and you got to keep your thoughts focused on the leader. And the leader is Jesus Christ. All right? So you got to have that helmet, because it's the helmet of what? Salvation. All right? It's protecting. It's protecting you. And so by doing that, so you got to have the right thoughts. You got to be prepared. So that's why you got to have all of these things on. And then he ends up by saying, the sword of the Spirit. which is, it goes back, the Word of God. All right? So you have the belt, and the belt is the Word. And all of that, he ends up with the Word. And so the sword of the Spirit, now, we have to understand about the sword. The sword was a weapon that was used both defense and offense. In other words, the sword was used both to protect, but also it was used to fight off the enemy or to slay the enemy. So the sign of a Christian is to use the Word of God. Now, in order to use the Word of God, you got to know the Word of God. You got to study the Word of God. Because when you study the Word of God, because he's telling us that study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, what? Rightly dividing the Word of truth. So you got to be willing to not only you have the Word, but you got to study the Word and know what the Word is about. All right? So the sign of a Christian is his use of the Word of God. All right? By living in the Scripture. See, the Scripture ought to be your life. It ought to be your life. It ought to be part of your life, the Scripture. Because guess what? When you're going through some stuff, if you know the Scripture, you can fall back on the Scripture that can help you through the times that you're going through. You know, I always use an example. That's one of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct the path. And what you got to do is you got to take that scripture and make it personal. Make it personal to you. Put yourself in it. See, you got to learn to put yourself in the scripture. All right, so as we look at that, and so we find that he protects himself from the enemy, and we protect ourselves from the enemy by the Word of God. Because why? The Word of God is sharper, powerful than any two-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. But guess what? As you looked at all of these 16, there was nothing for the back. You notice that? There was nothing for the back. Well, why? Why was that? Because as Christians, we are not to retreat. As Christians, we cannot flee from the devil. In James chapter 4 and verse 7, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's not we fleeing from him. Let the devil flee from you. But also you need to understand that the reason that there is nothing for the back, because in this battle, y'all ready for this? God has our back. You don't have to worry about it. In this battle, God has our back. And the reason he has our back is because our role is to advance his name, his church, taking the banner of Christ forward, defeating the enemy. So our focus is to go forward, knowing that the Lord God have our back. Then in verse 18, when you look at verse 18, it introduces the general character of the believer's prayer life. Praying always. It means focus on the frequency. He says praying always with all prayer and supplication. This focuses on the variety. So praying always focuses on the frequency. All prayer and supplication focuses on the variety. All right? in the spirit. All right? In the spirit focuses on submission as we line up under the will of God. Let me go there again. Praying always focuses on the frequency. All prayers and supplication focuses on the variety. In the spirit focuses on submission. And then you have the word watching thereunto. It focuses on the manner. All right? It focuses on the manner. All perseverance focuses on the persistence. With all saints, focuses on the object. All right? Let me go through that one more time. Now, it says, praying always focuses on the frequency. All right? All prayer and supplication focuses on the variety. In spirit, focuses on submission. Watching thereunto focuses on the manner. All perseverance focuses on the persistent. All saints focuses on the object. Then in verse 19 and verse 20, when you look at verse 19 and verse 20, when you look at that, Paul seeks their prayer in his behalf that he may boldly or plainly make known the gospel. In verse 19, and that also that he speak it boldly as it ought to be preached in verse number 20. And so, again, Paul is in prison. And the boldness comes when you and I realize that it is not you speaking in your own might, but it's God speaking through you. All right? God is speaking through you. And then in verse, when you look at verse 21 and 22, you find Tychius. Now he was a convert from Asia Minor. All right, when you look at that, he was the with the apostle Paul doing his first imprisonment in Rome, and so from this is where this epistle was written. When you look at chapter 3 and verse 1, and so he accompanied Paul in taking an offering to the church in Jerusalem. You remember in Acts chapter 20, verse 4 through verse 6. And he was sent by him on several missionary journeys. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. And then Titus 3 and verse 12. And so as we look at this, we find that what he was going to do was he's going to give them a report on the condition of Paul in his captivity. All right? So that's what verse 21 and 22 is all about. Again, there is handouts in the back for over the overview of chapter 6, so you can pick up one as well. And then verse 23 and 24. When you look at verse 23 and 24, it's a beautiful benediction. What it does is that it sums up the major theme of this personal letter. It reminding the readers of peace. Not only peace, but love and faith from God in Jesus Christ. So grace or divine favor was the gift Paul desired to all of those who love our Lord. Jesus Christ. And so that's the whole thing of Ephesians chapter number 6. Again, just want to thank you for just listening, and those that are on our conference call, want to thank you for listening as well. Let me just briefly go over this